Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. The channel where you have a practicing criminal defense attorney explain the facts, the procedure, and the law to cold cases and current true crime cases. Welcome. Let's get straight to the docket. First, violent crime is up. Brian Laundry is hanging low. Derek Chauvin's broke. A woman gets 12 years to life for some hot water, and the dumb criminals keep on coming. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Let's get going. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up. Don't forget to hit that bell so you receive notifications of when we go live. And as always, leave me a comment below about what you think about the cases that we discussed today. Don't forget, you can listen to this show and past shows by downloading Crime Talk and all of your favorite podcasting apps like Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Android, Amazon Music, and Audible. All right, and before we get going, let's support the people that support Crime Talk. Go to the link, crimetalkprep.com, and get your 4 weeks of an emergency food supply kit. In today's world of supply chain shortages and unknown changing rules, you do not know what will happen next. You have to be prepared for the unexpected. When you go to crimetalkprep.com, you go to the link, you'll receive $50 off and free shipping. When incredible things happen, riots, civil unrest, natural disasters, and food supply chain shortages, you need to be able to take care of yourself and your family. Go to crimetalkprep.com and get your emergency food supply kit today. All right, next on the docket, violent crime is up in the United States. That's right, violent crime was up 3.3% in 2020 compared to 2019. And this is all according to the preliminary data provided from the FBI's quarterly Uniform Crime Report, also known as the UCR. This includes a 25% increase in the homicide rate, and the recent uptick in violent crime is a change from more than 30 years of decreases in property and violent crime. Meanwhile, property crimes decreased 7.9%. Now, the FBI UCR database contains reports from about 70% of the U.S. law enforcement agencies, ranging from urban to rural areas and across geographic regions. The UCR report includes law enforcement agencies of all levels, including city, county, state, tribal, and federal agencies. Now, large cities might overlap between multiple law enforcement agencies, with each reporting data ultimately to the FBI. The finalized 2020 data will be available this fall. Now, law enforcement agencies reported almost 1.3 million violent crimes in 2020, a rate of about 390 incidents per 100,000 people. Now, violent crime reached a peak in 1992 with almost 2 million offenses reported, or a rate of 750 per 100,000 individuals. Now, most of the decrease came from drops in aggravated assaults and robberies, which are almost 90% of violent crimes in the United States. Now, violent crime increased the most in the Midwest and the South, rising by over 5%. Cities with a population larger than 500,000 saw bigger violent crime increases than smaller ones, and the smallest category of cities with a population under 10,000 is the only category in which violent crime decreased, falling by 5.2% in 2020. Now, to get really into the weeds, the UCR divides violent crime into four categories: homicide, including murder and non-negligent manslaughter, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. Aggravated assault is the largest category, comprising 66% of violent crimes. In 2020, aggravated assaults rose by 10.5%, driving the uptick in the violent crime rate. Now, aggravated assaults rose for all population groups except cities with fewer than 10,000 people. Homicides rose across all population groups last year, and homicides make up about 1% of all violent crime in the UCR data. Even when the rate of homicides increases, it has little effect on the violent crime or overall crime rate. Now, homicides increased by about 25% in 2020, and there were 20,480 homicides last year compared to 16,424 in 2019. Last year's increase was the biggest single year jump since 2015, when homicides rose by 12%. Ladies and gentlemen, crime is up. Let me know in the comments what you think is the cause of such a large increase. No respect for the law, defunding the police, getting more of what you tolerate. Do you blame it on the lockdowns? Let me know. Or is it just the absolute complete decay of our civilization? I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts are. Next on the docket, Brian Laundrie is still hanging low. While the search for Brian Laundrie continues, sources are reporting he left on his little walkabout, encouraged by his family, without his wallet and cell phone. That's right, he departed his home nearly 10 days ago, as of today, September 24th of 2020. Now, Brian Laundrie, assuming he has not hurt himself, may want to pick up the pace of wherever he's going, because the United States attorney obtained an arrest warrant for young Mr. Laundrie. The warrant is not for the death of Gabby Petito. No, the warrant is for a violation of 18 United States Code Section 1029A1, use of unauthorized access devices. And this was the U.S. code cited in the FBI's press release. However, the statute in the indictment alleges to have violated 18 United States Code Section 1029A2C1A Roman numeral I, which states, whoever knowingly and with the intent to defraud traffics in or uses one or more unauthorized access devices during any 1 year period and by such conduct obtains anything of value aggregating $1,000 or more during the period. Now, the penalties under subsection C1 state that the punishment for an offense under this subsection A of this section is, in the case of an offense that does not occur after a conviction for another offense under this section, then you look at the Roman numeral I, if the offense is under paragraphs 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, or 10, or subsection A fine under this title or imprisonment for the amount of not more than 10 years or both. Now, the feds are seeking detention, which means no bond in the federal system, of Mr. Laundrie once and if he is arrested. The feds are stating that he is a flight risk, as a risk of obstruction of justice. And then it begs the question, when you go back to the statute, what is an unauthorized access device? Well, they have a statute for that, and the definition includes the term unauthorized access device means any access device that is lost, stolen, expired, revoked, canceled, or obtained with intent to defraud. What does that really mean? It could be a credit card. It could be using some sort of a device to access a bank account. Now, the court has also granted that the indictment be sealed, which is a little late because a copy of the indictment has already been released. Now, there's a law firm in Seattle, Washington, that's offering a $20,000 reward for the information leading to the arrest of Brian Laundrie. Tips aren't enough. Laundrie must actually be arrested to collect the money. Now, the law firm's donation, is it a publicity stunt or a sincere gesture to help locate Brian Laundrie? Let me know what you think. Now, listen, if someone has information about the location of Brian Laundrie, they need to call the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI, or they can call the local Denver office at 303-629-7171. And finally, Gabriella Petito will be laid to rest on Sunday in her native Long Island. The memorial will take place at Maloney's Funeral Home in Holbrook, New York, on Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m., and the funeral is open to the public. All right. Do you think Brian Laundrie will show up to his former fiance's funeral? Yeah, I don't think so either. All right. Next on the docket, Derek Chauvin, remember that guy? Yeah, well, he's broke and he no longer has an attorney. That's right, Derek Chauvin, the former police officer who was convicted for the murder of George Floyd, has filed a pleading stating that he cannot afford an attorney for his appeal and for the conviction of his sentence. Chauvin cites in his affidavit that he currently has no legal representation and that his only income is his nominal prison wages. Now, as you may recall, the Minnesota Police Department Police Protective Association was defending Chauvin. Well, they stopped funding his legal representation upon conviction. Chauvin stated in this affidavit that he has been informed that their representation obligation to pay for his representation has ended. Now, Chauvin intends to raise 14 issues on appeal, according to documents that have been filed. Most of those claims include allegations that Judge Cahill made errors and key points in the case, and that the trial, most importantly, should not have taken place in Minneapolis after Floyd's death, which sparked mass protests there and in other cities across the United States. Other appellate issues may possibly include that the judge abused his discretion when he denied Chauvin's request to move the trial out of Minneapolis because of pretrial publicity, when he denied a request to sequester the jury for the duration of the trial, and when he denied requests to postpone the trial or grant a new trial. Further allegations that the state committed prejudicial prosecutorial misconduct, and that finally the district court erred when it concluded that Morris Hall, the man with Floyd on the day of his arrest, would not be forced to testify on behalf of the defense. When one is in custody, regardless of what terrible things the person may have been convicted of doing, they are entitled to an attorney at state expense, including an appeal. The court should now grant Derek Chauvin an appellate attorney to handle his appeal. To do so would be a complete violation of Derek Chauvin's constitutional rights of due process and to make sure that his case is heard on appeal. You would think that the Police Protective Association would continue their representation. Obviously, Mr. Nelson, the trial attorney, I think he did a very good job for Derek Chauvin. I'm not sure the judge's rulings are going to be overturned on appeal. I think Mr. Chauvin more than likely needs to get comfortable in state prison, whereupon he can then go to federal prison to serve his forthcoming sentences there as well. All right. A woman gets 12 years to life for some hot water. And I'm telling you, you can't do this. Now, Karina Smith had been told by her daughter that her husband, Michael Baines, who was 80 years old, had sexually assaulted her and her brother when they were children. Now, Smith did what a lot of people would like to do when hearing someone abused her kids, let alone her husband. Well, she killed him. How did she kill her husband? Listen to this. By pouring boiling sugar water on him while he was sleeping. Now, this combination of the boiling sugar water burned her husband over 36% of his body. The 80-year-old was taken to the hospital in critical condition in the early hours of Tuesday, July 4th of 2020. He was treated for his injuries, but he died a month later on Tuesday, August 18th of 2020. Now, Smith was described as angry and upset the day before the attack because of a rumor about her husband that she believed to be true. Smith, also known as Karina Baines, was also her husband's caregiver. Now, the prosecutors claim that adding sugar to the water made the liquid more viscous, thicker, and stickier so that it stays on the skin and causes greater damage, which is exactly what it did. The sentencing judge stated to Ms. Smith, "Whatever you believed your husband had done, your actions cannot be justified in the least. You took Mr. Baines' life and caused his children and those who loved him great grief and shock." Ms. Smith was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 12 years. The judge further stated, "Killing Mr. Baines also removed any chance for the allegations to be tested. That deprived him of his right to a fair trial, despite the fact that everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. The allegations are unproven and remain unresolved. This is a terrible situation for the entire family. They bear no responsibility for any of this and deserve our deepest sympathies. The court ultimately said, I sentence you on the basis that your intention was to cause serious bodily harm rather than to kill, said the court. Furthermore, that intention was formed while you were in distress. Bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, you can't do vigilante justice. You can't be the accuser, judge, and executioner. Appropriate sentence? Let me know. Obviously, if the allegations are true, people would like to jump to those conclusions and mete out that kind of punishment. But we require due process of law here in the United States, no matter how heinous the allegations are. All right, before we get to the dumb criminal, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our dumb criminal contestant of the day comes from Philadelphia. Allegedly, a cashier working at a Chipotle in Philadelphia was instructed by her manager to close the store to customers and advise the waiting customers to order online due to staffing shortages. Well, the complaining witness relayed this information to the patrons, whereupon a woman displayed a black firearm and asked to speak to the manager. Now, the cashier hit the security button that was pressed. The armed woman stated that if someone doesn't make her food, she'll be back and there will be a problem. The woman put the firearm back into her purse. Well, an employee made the food, hoping to get the pistol-packing, hangry customer out the door. After the order was, in fact, delivered, the pistol-packing, hangry woman displayed the firearm again. She took her food and fled. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is, at a minimum, a menacing, if not an aggravated robbery. And in most places, that, well, it could be mandatory prison. This unidentified person, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day because, let's face it, who hasn't eaten at Chipotle? It's okay. Frankly, I think it's a little too spicy, but it's certainly not worth going to prison for, I assure you of that. And for that reason, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. All right, let's do a quick recap of our contestants throughout the week. Make sure you vote. Leave your winner down below. We'll tally those up and award and announce the winner next week. All right, Thursday, Lori Harmon and Eric Harmon, our repeat contestants, for expressing their love for all the world to see in public places. Problem was, they were on probation for similar expressions of love. Wednesday, Benjamin Dahm. He took over a random house and told the residents that he now lives there. Yep, that's right. Possession is not 9/10 of the law. Tuesday, our international dumb criminal contestants, they were caught smuggling 3 buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, $100,000 in cash, and an undisclosed quantity of fries into Auckland, New Zealand, which is on a lockdown. That's right. The lockdown, when there's a lockdown, KFC is the new crack. And then ultimately on Monday, Daniel Schroeder, 61, was arrested for calling the police emergency line to let the 911 operator know that he was tired. And that's right, another high repetitious learner here. He was on probation for the exact same crime, which had a 6-month suspended sentence hanging over his head on the condition of no new law violations. That's right. Can you say violated? There you go. Our dumb criminal contestants, please vote. Thanks for watching. We know that there's a lot of things that you could be doing. We appreciate that you took the time to join us here on Crime Talk. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.